What's happening locally? The news.
And let us take our first look for this week. Our Monday morning look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The Ministry of Health reported on Sunday that 1,125 new infections of COVID-19 were registered in the last 24 hours. The Epidemiological Department announced that one death occurred that corresponds to the last 24 hours, increasing the total number of deaths now to 8,347. To find the new cases, 5,950 tests were applied for a positivity of 18.9%. Active cases total 15,141 throughout the country, of which 14,895 are in home isolation and 246 are hospitalized. Those in isolation, they're divided into 14,880 at home and 15 in the so-called hospital hotels. Those actually hospitalized, we have 207 patients in the rooms and we have 39 in the intensive care units. The Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama, the CCIAP, states that the government must end the state of emergency that it established in March of 2020 with the arrival of the COVID-19 pandemic in the country. In its weekly letter to the country, the Business Association recalled that although it is true that the special procedure for state purchases has already been suspended, measures such as the Panama Solidarity Plan are still in force, with its different components and the mandatory use of the mask in closed spaces. The CCIAP emphasizes that these initiatives have fulfilled their purpose and that these resources must be allocated efficiently to priority needs such as productive investment and boosting employment. Clearly, the conditions of the pandemic are today considerably different from the last 2 years, so based on that, it makes no sense to maintain such a state of emergency. Just as we see the now neighboring nations in the region, they've already taken the step towards total normality, is expressed in their statement. For example, the neighboring country of Colombia will end the state of emergency next Thursday, the 30th of June. According to the CCIAP, efforts must now be aimed at advancing as a country and guaranteeing a sustainable and equitable future for our citizens. It is recalled that the National Institute of Statistics and Census reported that the unemployment rate decreased to 9.9%, but that informality increased to 48.2%. This clearly marks the priority that lies ahead: create jobs and stimulate formal entrepreneurship without losing sight of the great effort that must be made in terms of education to have enough qualified people to fill the jobs that are generated. Likewise, it is emphasized that the promotion of the employer sector is essential. It's essential for creating jobs, especially with the support of micro, small and medium-sized companies that generate between 60 and 70% of employment. Not having clarity regarding the dismantling of the emergency structure not only exerts increasing pressure on public finances, but also prolongs an interim period that threatens citizens to the extent that these resources are not directed to the creation of jobs and opportunities that allow them to carve out a better quality of life. It is important to note that last week the President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, announced that the digital voucher, the Panama Solidarity Program, will be extended until the 30th of December. The state payroll is getting fatter and represents a greater weight in budget spending in the midst of an economic situation that demands greater containment due to the increase in public debt and subsidies. Last April, the salary payment of the payroll in the state reached $404.7 million, the highest amount among the first 4 months of the year, according to the report of the Comptroller General of the Republic. Compared to April of 2021, when this expense was $389.6 million, there was an increase of $15 million. The accumulated wage bill in the public sector during the first 4 months of the year totaled $1.58 billion, or $67 million more than in the same period of 2021. With $67 million, the school digital gap that exists in the country can be closed, and the infrastructure to connect 1,071 schools that do not have internet in Panama, for example, can be bought. A recent study of the Inter-American Development Bank, promoted by the Government Innovation Authority, indicated that $47 million is required to develop the project, which would have a great impact on the education sector. The number of people in April of 2022, 249,101 officials were registered, of which 225,512 are permanent and 23,589 are temporary. This is a large volume of people. It would take 9 stadiums the size of the Rod Carew, which has a capacity of 27,000 attendees, to accommodate all the officials who work in the Panamanian state apparatus if they could be seated. Well, the payroll grew by 3,249 officials last April compared to April of 20. The institutions with the highest increases in officials in April of 2022 compared to April of 2021 were the National Assembly of Deputies with 1,727 new public employees, the Ministry of Health with 482, the Ministry of Public Security with 389, the Tocumen International Airport SA with 314, the Comptroller General of the Republic with 252, the Savings Bank 245, and the Specialized University of the Americas with 219 additional officials. In the case of the National Assembly of Deputies, this state body alone accounted for 53% of the growth in new officials appointed last April. In other words, of the 3,249 officials who joined the state payroll, more than half, or 1,727, were in the National Assembly. A big question that arises is where to accommodate that number of people if no new offices have been built there. The data published by the Comptroller's Office shows that of the 5,650 officials reported to the legislative branch last April, 2,605 officials were permanent and 3,045 temporary. Likewise, of the monthly expense of $13.5 million for salaries for that month, $8.5 million were used to pay for temporary employees and $4.6 million for permanent employees. In the first 3 months of 2022, some 15,000 people entered the payroll, or an average of 5,000 per month. At this rate of growth, at the end of 2022, salary payments could reach $5 billion, something that, according to many specialists' analysis, is unsustainable. In 2021, the salary expense amounted to $4,738 million. The Ombudsman, Eduardo LeBlanc, described as a violation of human rights the fact that the judicial branch has trials scheduled for the years 2025 and 2026. LeBlanc, during a break in the process of interviewing the candidates for the position of magistrate of the Criminal Chamber of the Court this Saturday, the 25th of June, said that the Inter-American Court of Human Rights has reiterated that delayed justice is not justice. He recalled that this court has raised the need for both victims and defendants to have access to prompt and uninterrupted justice. He called for the State Pact for Justice to address this problem with the judicial branch, the public ministry and the Ministry of Security, in order to define where the problem lies and establish strategies to deal with the situation that affects the users of the justice system. Through a recent statement, the judicial branch reported that the Second Judicial Office of the First Judicial Circuit of Panama will launch, as of the 4th of July, a contingency plan to hold the largest number of oral hearings to deal with pending cases. The 6 hearing rooms of the new facilities of the oral trials section of the accusatory penal system, located in Building 727 in Balboa, Ancon, will be used, where it is planned to hold between 15 and 17 oral trials per week, including the Saturday's regular hours. Agricultural Cargo and the International Cargo Carriers announced that they will maintain a vigil this Sunday, the 26th, and Monday, the 27th. This despite achieving a dialogue table with the government to freeze the price of fuel for agricultural cargo carriers at $3.95 per gallon. Precisely one of the complaints exposed by these sectors is the high price of fuels. Their spokesmen have not ruled out a stoppage of services. Hernan Cortez, spokesperson for the Agricultural Freight Transport Group, announced that they will remain vigilant and will not move products to national markets. We managed to freeze the price of fuel. We maintain permanent dialogue on the issue of the price of supplies and other points that will be taken to next Tuesday's meeting in the province of Chiriquí, added Cortez. This Saturday's meeting was held at the Chiriquí government headquarters, led by the Minister of Agricultural Development, Augusto Valderrama, among other officials. Minister Valderrama explained that the measures to freeze the price of fuel would take effect this Monday at 4 a.m. Carriers must register in Merca Panama in the San Felipe Neri market and in Chiriquí in an office that the government will enable in the Land Transit and Transportation Authority, explained the minister. The official also indicated that the issue of freezing the price of fuel for international cargo transport will be discussed at next Tuesday's meeting. The company Centro Equipos S.A. once again received the highest rating for its offer of $58 million that it submitted in the tender for the turnkey contract for the rehabilitation of 43 segments of streets and social areas in the district of El Chorrillo. The Ministry of Public Works had ordered a new evaluation of the proposals received due to the observations made by the participants who complained about the evaluation carried out by the Evaluation Commission. Centro Equipos S.A. had outbid Consorcios Renovación, that's MICO, and Construcciones Yurox, Consorcio CNT Chorrillo, that's Constructora Urbana, known as CUSA, and Toronto Global Holdings, and Transec Copsa, who bid $62.6 million, $64.9 million, and $65 million, respectively. In the second report, the Evaluation Commission determined that the group of the MECO company did not comply with the experience in landscaping and management of social plans for the project. Regarding the documents presented by the consortium of CUSA and Toronto Global Holdings, the commissioners concluded that the consortium did not demonstrate the availability of the material needed to execute the project. The contract for the rehabilitation of the streets of El Chorrillo is part of the package of 25 works at the Ministry of Public Work tenders, with financing included. MICO and CUSA received a rating of 92.5 points and 94.7 points, while Transec Copsa was evaluated with 90.7 points after the Commission determined that it did not comply with 100% of the design for the Amelia Denise de Icaza Park. In addition to this, the company also did not meet the required personnel with experience in social issues. That's it. There we go. That's our look. Some of those things relevant to us here this morning on The Breakfast Show. Well, compiled for you by us here on The Breakfast Show.